Welcome, everyone, to the Our Strange Skies podcast. I am your host, Rob Christofferson, and I'm joined once again by the co-host of the Double Density podcast, Brian Hasty. Brian, welcome back, man.
Thank you, and I wish it were under better circumstances, but we'll live.
Yeah. So first and foremost, there is a content warning for this episode. We're going to be talking a little bit about self-harm, childhood sexual assault, and CSA material. So if you're sensitive to that, you probably want to skip this episode. This is the start of a series that we're calling UFO Grifters, because sometimes it's just good to call out the grifters. And, today we figured we start with one of the worst. Brian, why are we talking about Stan Romanek?
Well, so Rob, if I picture you going for the best of the worst, right? You're opening up the barrel of shit and you mm-hmm. put your fist in, you're going down, and then suddenly there's a hole to an even deeper barrel and you reach out, you pull it out, and it's like extra awful stuff. Stan Romanek is one of the biggest grifters in ufology and also just a real piece of shit as a human being. And I am ready to make fun of him. I am ready to call him out when appropriate, and I'm ready to lay down the law when necessary.
That's a fair assessment. Stan Romanek, giant piece of shit. No other way to put it. Just the worst. He became prominent as an experiencer in the 2000s and gained a reputation as having one of the most thoroughly documented cases in UFO history. So you know how much bullshit you're bringing to the table with that.
Before I forget, Rob, like he has over at the point of the documentary Extraordinary, which was shot in 2013, came out in 2014. He claimed almost 200 document incidents, most of them self-documented. So let's just take pause right there.
Yes, most of them self-documented, and the people that he experienced things with, I don't trust for a second, but that's something we'll get into here. We're going to kind of run down his story and the incidents and shit on a lot of these incidents because they are worth shitting on. First and foremost, Stan Romanek, he was born in December of 1962 in Denver, Colorado, youngest of four children. His father was an Air Force NCO, and according to Stan, he worked with Minuteman missiles, which meant that he moved around a lot. At the age of five, he was diagnosed with severe dyslexia, which made him feel, quote unquote, isolated and treated like he was dumber. And I'm sure people who do suffer with severe dyslexia do deal with that. But I'm not showing any sympathy to Stan Romanek here. Sorry.
No sympathy. Correct.
No, none.
Zero tolerance.
Yes. Here's a direct quote about his mother in one particular memory that he has. Quote, I remember her once taking us on a picnic during a snowstorm and making it a fun experience despite the bitter cold, a task few women have the ability to pull off nowadays.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but it was, I lifted that right from his book, Messages, you know, because Stan receives some messages.
There is a message in that book, and the message is he's fucking dumb.
Yes.
Like, it's just, like, from the start to the finish, like, the book is, like, 200-odd pages. I'm not going to reach for it. It's over there. I don't want to deal with it anymore. But it's just a sort of, like, encyclopedia of stupidity from, like, various things. Like, all of the stuff in his past, all of the incidents, and I'm sure we're going to talk about a lot of that, too. Just, it's so weird how there's so many areas in this book that give you straight pause, but I don't understand how no one read this and was like, think about what you're saying here.
Yeah. He had a co-writer on this book too. And it, like, why, what did this co-writer do? clearly did not do him any favors. But after his schooling, he went on to study design and graphic arts and attended a school for business management. At one time, he was a quote unquote fashion designer. Okay. And from there, he moved to corporate jobs and management. He worked for Schwinn. Quote, "In fact, I loved bicycling so much that for a time I seriously considering," and yes, he wrote it considering, "going professional and had set my sights on riding in the Olympics when several of my teammates died in a plane crash, leaving me devastated," end quote.
So in the book messages and also in the documentary Extraordinary, Stan mentions a bike incident. Where he mentions that shadowy government people roughed him up. The more likely scenario is that Stan had a bicycle accident because he's not actually that good at bicycles.
That's a fair assessment. And I assume he just falls all the time on them. It's a fair assessment, folks, like through and through. From there, he moved on to computers, where he became quite good at repairing them and getting rid of viruses. And this is your foreshadowing moment here, folks. This is going to come into play later on down the line. So just keep that in mind if you're not familiar with the Stan Romanek story.
A question to you, Rob. Is he snitching on himself?
He snitches on himself so many times in this book, Brian. So many times.
It's so many different ways too. But yes, this is probably the biggest self-tell of all.
Yeah. Yeah, truly. Quote, "Oh, and lest I forget, I even taught myself to play the Native American flute professionally, eventually becoming good enough at it that I would later make a CD and go on tour. It is a hobby that still gives me much enjoyment to this day," end quote. Now, funnily enough, Our Strange Skies does have a Discord. I don't advertise it that much. I just keep forgetting. But if y'all want the links, just like hit me up on social media. I'll send you the links. But there was someone in the Discord that said they met Stan Romanek at a convention and he tried to sell them CDs.
So did you ask the price of said CDs? Because I'd be curious. He's probably like a $30 man, right? He's probably not like he wants quantity. He's just, it's a premium product.
Yeah, it's totally a premium product. And I did not ask, but there will be a follow up. I got to know. I got to know how much he was charging, because it's just ridiculous.
So adding to this whole new agey kind of thing, in doing some research, I found out his middle name was Tiger, apparently, though I'm not quite sure if that's true or not.
That is true.
I would love to see a birth certificate, but it feels like he's a mystic man, right? He should be he should have a walking like stick or something.
Yes, absolutely. And Stan is a even just watching him on camera is just an unsettling experience. But
every single picture and still you see of him, it's like you caught him doing something wrong.
Yes.
Or that he's pooping. Like, one of the two. Like, if you we don't encourage this, but if you go ahead and Google image search him, there are not a lot of great pictures where you're like, oh, he looks normal. No, he's always, when he's posed, he's always pooping.
Always pooping. Like, he's just got pooping face all the time. Like, you just caught this man in the bathroom. It just happens all the time. But the death of Stan's mom and a couple of failed relationships seem to affect him greatly. But I think this is where all of this pans from, quite frankly. But in the year 2000, he started to experience what he called his awakening. So December 27th, 2000. Stan was trying to convince his girlfriend, soon-to-be wife Lisa, to come out and visit him in Colorado. So he decided to take a video of the area to show her and, what it was like. And one area in particular that he wanted to show her was Red Rocks, because Red Rocks is fucking beautiful. And he's basically driving along the this like back road, and he notices a bunch of cars pulled over to the side of the road. What could they be looking at? These people, they're looking at something. What could they be looking at? Brian, what were they looking at?
Oddly shaped metallic, and I'm using air quotes, like objects in the sky, like spherical ones just moving around.
Yeah. He was looking at some Mylar balloons. Period. When you look at the video, looks like a Mylar balloon, and he like tries to like make out these details that are just absolutely fucking stupid. Quote, studying the object closely, I soon determined that it was some sort of oddly shaped metallic craft segmented into multiple spheres, with the main body being rounded on the top and with six smaller spheres rotating slowly counterclockwise along its bottom. Meanwhile, if you look at that video, there was nothing rotating in that fucking video.
Not at all. It was still. No.
It was very
sir, these are balloons. So before I forget, and I tried to do some, I tried my best to find some research on this. I would love to know, because in the book and in the documentary, Stan notes that he met his wife to be on the internet. Now, where did they meet? What kind of forum, chat room, you know, comment section on a website did they meet on? Was it IRC? Like, I need to know how they came together.
Yeah. That's a fair assessment. How did he ASL her up? You know, like,
yeah. To the true heads who used to, you know, linger on the internet, ASL is the way to go.
Yeah. This balloon was highly reflective, like burnished aluminum, and it was tilting slightly in the direction in which it was moving. But perhaps the most peculiar thing about the craft was the inky black area between the rotating lower spheres. It was the blackest black I had ever seen in my life, as though it were somehow capable of sucking up all the light around it. It struck me that if somebody were to throw a stone into this void, it would simply continue into it for infinity. End quote.
You know what would have ended it quite well? A rock. A rock would have destroyed the balloon.
A rock totally would have destroyed the balloon. I don't know why he didn't pick up one and throw it. But
Rob, what is your stance on tapping the glass when it comes to like UFOs? Right. In theory, like, should we be throwing rocks? What should we be doing here?
I don't recommend. I think I've come down firm on not shooting it with a gun. I'm staunchly in favor of not shooting it with a gun. Maybe throw a rock, maybe something softer. Depends on how close it is. But you know what? Rocks are fine. I'm totally fine with rocks.
Let's do but one rock only, right?
Yes.
Just not a flurry of rocks, just one, kind of get their attention, see what's up. And if they deflate, you've hit a balloon.
Yeah, exactly. It could have been, this whole thing could have been over real quick if he had just done that, and we wouldn't even have to be talking about Stan Romanek. But Stan comes away thinking that this object took an interest in him, and because of this, it started to make him question everything. With paranoia behind the wheel, he started to notice strange clicking sounds when he would talk on the phone. A repairman allegedly came to his house and found a listening device on the exterior phone line. And what you find with Stan Romanek is that UFOs taking an interest in him means that there are other interests, other interested parties that are taking an interest in Stan. What I'm not totally clear on is if these interested parties are aliens, and why would aliens need to phone tap your line? Just a question that I don't really know.
Clearly, it is a cabal of aliens and highly placed humans getting together to mess with this one man.
Yes. Yep. When we're talking about this, think of the word allegedly a lot, because that's where we're at here, folks. Because Stan, there isn't a lot to back up what Stan ever says. There isn't a lot of that, you know, there isn't a lot of high strangeness that Stan experiences with anybody.
I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, maybe we should just call this like low class strangeness.
Yeah. low class. Not even blue collar strangeness.
You No, not even sub. No.
Yeah, it totally is. So he claims that after his experience, he could attract birds to him. And this is all in his book. It's all in his book. And it's talked about briefly in the documentary. He cites an incident in which he was driving with his friend Mark, and some birds peppered the van he was in, allegedly. And this is slowly turning into an episode of Letterkenny. It really is at this point.
Or just like, maybe I loved the idea that he just tied a bunch of like bird feed onto himself or in the truck or something. And just, you know, or maybe he had a bird whistle because he's a new age kind of guy. He already has the pan flute. It's just a slight shift over to bird whistle.
It is like, I want to know what Ian Anderson's ability to attract birds to him is like. It's just, can he do it? I think he can.
I'm going to find out on the Jethro Tull website if there's a way to contact him, Jethro Tull. Yeah,
please do. Like, see if he has an email. Maybe we could fax him. I'm not sure. But September 20th, 2001. So we're months later. We're almost like a solid year later. But he has his first abduction experience. And at this point, Stan was working as an assistant manager at an electronics job. And around closing time, a bunch of people ran back into the store and told him to come outside to see a UFO. It was floating above, and it had this blinking red sphere. And it was approximately 30 feet in diameter. He would eventually lock up the store. Like, he just goes back in, like no big deal. And then he's driving and he sees this UFO on the road. He thinks it's a plane at first. And then he starts to ask himself the question, why me? We're all asking that, Stan.
I'm literally asking myself right now.
Yes.
Like, so, okay. So a couple of things, right? So he has a group sighting. Nowhere in the book, nowhere in the documentary is anyone interviewed about this. You couldn't find one person from this group to just reach out to.
Nope. Not a one. Not a one. So he raced home, where he was going to have dinner with Mark and his sister Anne. You know what I find interesting? We never hear from Mark in the documentary, do we?
Never. Nope.
We don't hear from his sister Anne in the documentary, do we?
Nope.
Yeah. I think it's because they knew he was shady as shit. But he runs inside, tells them about this UFO. He goes and he gets his camcorder and goes back outside. The UFO moves off. But Stan basically talks for hours about this UFO experience. Until his sister falls asleep on the couch, Mark leaves, and he goes to bed. He apparently has a headache. At 2:30 on the 21st, he woke up to a persistent pounding on the door and assumed it might have been a drunk neighbor or something. But Anne answered the door, and there were three strange people, two men and a woman, who were dressed in quote-unquote Halloween-type costumes, not very specific there, but they were short, about 4.5 feet tall, very skinny, with large heads, almond-shaped eyes with blue irises. The blue irises kind of remind me of Crescent from the Love and Saucers. She had very stark blue eyes, and they had a slit for a mouth, so they look very gray-like, and I think the woman has a little bit of wispy hair on top of her head. Their heads were kind of triangular-shaped, so, like, not unlike the those hairy aliens from Nope, you know, in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And they reminded Stan of a possum, so he called them the Possum People. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start up a band next week, and I know what I'm calling it.
It's got to be a jug band, though, right?
It does. It does. Like, hardcore jug band, you know? But Stan started to panic, and at the moment he did, a telepathic thought came into his head and stated that it's okay. And the female figure suddenly grabbed him by the wrist and led him to the balcony. According to Stan, his survival instincts kicked in. He grabbed one of the males and tried to throw him off the balcony like he's Ed fucking Walters. Like, he's, this is un-American, as Ed would say. But he just suddenly felt a tapping on the back of his head. And then the next moment, he's waking up in bed. And he chalks it all up to a crazy dream. It's all a dream, Brian. It's all a dream. Even this recording. It's a dream.
I mean, I want to wake up, Rob. Like, this is Matrix-style awakening, right? But I can't. This is the shittiest timeline where
it is.
This guy begins to grift really hard.
He does. Totally grifting real hard. The next morning, there was a series of scoop-shaped marks discovered on his back by his sister. And I want to interrupt this to say that having researched enough of these cases and like the scoop marks and all this shit and what you generally see in abduction cases, they do not look anything like the scoop marks that you see in any abduction cases. And in fact, it looks as if he burned himself with something. And as someone who has picked scabs his entire life, I know exactly what it looks like. And it looks like he burned himself. Like,
so when I was thinking about this, and we've covered this like a long time ago, but I was thinking about, you know, like a Stan Mikulak, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Falcon Lake incident. His burn marks were very interesting. You can't explain what it is very easily versus every single still and every single video where he shows some form of like oddness. There's always an alternate, very factual explanation for it.
Exactly. And one thing that he talks about is like how you could see them under a black light. Here's the thing. If you take your scars and you look at them under a black light, they glow. It's kind of amazing. Like, but it's nothing special. So the incident prompted him to call MUFON, and the case was investigated by a guy named Ethan. And according to him, these wounds allegedly healed 48 hours later. I don't believe that. But again,
this is just one of the first many medical miracles that we witnessed with Stan.
Yeah. After a couple of other sightings, MUFON encouraged Stan to go public to find more eyewitnesses. And he did some interviews that were aired in May of 2002. And in June of 2002, Stan started to undergo hypnosis in relation to his abduction of September 2001. And it's pretty typical as far as most abduction accounts go. There is an examination. But what Stan comes away from this abduction with is a bunch of knowledge that is seemingly shoved into his head. Equations and shit, mostly.
But in watching the documentary, right, and you and I discussed this prior to this, like, you don't get the sense that he was put under.
Mm-mm.
At all. Like, you can kind of, I've watched a fair amount of these. Don't even ask me why. It's just something I find fascinating. And there are, like, different mannerisms and way of acting when you are put under true hypnosis that I wasn't seeing. Like, once again, I wasn't in the room. I couldn't tell. But there could be a chance that he's bluffing this one.
When you see people under hypnosis in those accounts, most of the time they're not moving their arms. And if they are moving their arms, like they're starting to come out of it.
Because he does this like weird gesticulation stuff with with his hands that like he's kind of like talking.
Right. And he sounds like very coherent, whereas most people under hypnosis, they sound kind of distant when they're talking. They sound like, when they're emotional, but Stan just literally sounds like he's recounting his story to anybody that he's ever recounted his story to. And he's told that change is coming to Earth, which is par for the course with a lot of contact cases. Shit's going downhill if you don't change your ways, man. So, you know, Stan's, he's special because he's going to be able to deliver this message. And like, we've covered people that want that in which aliens want the abductees to deliver messages. We just covered one, Harrison Bailey. They would not stop badgering that poor man about delivering the message that, hey, we want to make friendly contact. But Stan's all for it. He's all for it. And I don't get it. I've never gotten a sense of fear from Stan in most of these cases.
That's really funny because when you read the book and when you watch the documentary, you get the sense that he's trying to be too cool for school about this.
Yep.
Like, for example, like when the first sighting happened in September 2001, he kind of gingerly he just sees a UFO and just goes back to the store like, no big deal. Like, and there's always this continual kind of like feeling that he's trying to propel, trying to give off that he's too good for this, almost that he's too cool for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there are those that act as if UFOs are completely below them until they have their experience. And you see this with investigators. Bud Hawkins is one of these people. Like, he literally talked about in his first book how he almost seemed to be too good for this shit, but ultimately made a career out of it on top of being an artist. But, Stan's so cool. He's so fucking cool. But following the regressions, he started to draw strange symbols and stuff that he claims the aliens just put it into his head. He drew the configuration of planets and alignment diagrams, equations, you know, the stuff that makes it seem like you're super smart, even though like everybody knows you're putting on an act. Of course, one of these equations, it was for element 115, Brian. Oh, shit.
I wish I had an air horn live here that would just blow everything out. Right. Rob, where else could you find element 115?
There's another individual in this field that I want to bring up first, but his name is Bobby Lasers, as I like to call him. And
you and I have discussed his infamous the video that Lazar was selling in the late 80s, early 90s, where he literally he pulls up in a car in the desert. Another too cool for school character. Yep. And also,
I can still see that video in my head.
I know, same. I've watched it like three or four times in my life, and it's just I can't unsee it. And so the funny thing is, right, when you really consider, where could Stan Romanek have heard about Element 115? It's not like Bob Lazar wasn't doing coast-to-coast AM appearances and, his story hadn't been propelled a bunch of times throughout the 90s and into the 2000s.
Yeah. It's not like the man wasn't a huge public figure that, talked about Element 115 all the fucking time. So, you know, it's just... I got this formula. They gave it to me. I had never heard of Bobby Lasers before in my life. But Stan, good old Stan, following the regression, Lisa received an email that basically said Stan's life was in danger and that they've tried to contact him, but he is quote unquote stubborn. A computer guy sends an email. What do you know?
Just literally. I have to ask you at this point, Lisa's complicit in all of this at this point, right? She's joining in on Stan's escapades because they realize that perhaps there is money to be made, allegedly, right?
Yes.
We haven't been a part of Stan and Lisa's marriage, though other people have, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But it's just like this weird thing where it's collusion. And I guess in a court of law, if they are married, she cannot testify against him either.
Right. It's the perfect crime, or at least it could have been. But, that's what happens when you get arrested, which we will cover later. But UFO sightings and abductions just continue to follow, including one in which he found himself outside one morning with no memory of how he got there. There were metallic samples collected and more scoop marks or burn marks, self-inflicted. There was a not so unusual circle in their yard, too, that was probably left by a children's pool that had been sitting in the yard. But they decided to check it with a Geiger counter. And of course, that needle just went fucking wild, as you'd expect. There were incidents that involved his stepson, Jake, in which there was a formula written on the wall. I believe it was the Frank Drake equation. And why do aliens give a shit about this equation? Why?
Why do they care about an Earth equation?
Yeah. literally makes no sense. Like, if this was a true alien contact story, I would believe that these aliens are just pranking these people, like Frank Drake equation.
So basically what he's doing is he's just doing a best of, right? He's just doing a really good best of.
Now, the that's what I call about. Advanced math equations, volume 10.
I would love, I'm kind of surprised at this point that he also didn't throw in a crop circle somewhere.
Yeah. I think that like pool circle is about as close as we get, but like, I would have loved to seen a really nice crop circle done by him. But we'll never get that. In April of 2003, this is where the hoaxing goes kind of nuts. And we get the alien puppets, Brian. We get the first one. According to Stan, he had gone into the kitchen to make a late night snack, and he claimed to see some movement outside the kitchen window. He basically thought he had a peeping Tom on his hand, spying on his two stepdaughters, and like, talk about like fucking incriminating yourself here.
Self-snitching.
Yeah, self-snitching. That statement makes me uneasy on many levels. After a few incidents like this, things quieted down, but in July of that year, the peeping Tom returned, and Stan decided to capture them on film. And he set up a camera looking out the window, and Brian, can you describe to me what was captured in this video, please?
Rob, have you ever played with any sort of toy ever?
Yep.
All right. So when we were kids, you used to be able to buy those like heads on a stick with the little claw at the bottom.
Yep.
This is a larger size of that. So this is the infamous Boo tape.
Yep.
Now, how anyone who had ever seen this and thought it was real, I very much question what is going on here, because you look at the tape and what you see essentially is a just like a puppet or a toy or something bobbing up and down diagonally and then disappearing slowly as if being yanked away, as if someone were holding it.
Yeah.
And the best part about it is when you watch the video, you see Stan kind of wait a sec and then go to the window and then be like, oh, it's gone. Instead of, I don't know, like opening the window up, looking at it. You know, if he finally had something within his grasp that he wanted so badly, and yet he was so turned off or whatever by the idea that he just decided to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the incident in Stan's own words. Quote, at first, everything appeared normal. Just the window looking out into the darkness. Then there were two intensely bright flashes of light from outside, like flash bulbs spaced about 10 seconds apart, and with the second flash being much brighter than the first. A few seconds after that, I watched in astonishment as a little head popped up over the windowsill. It came up slowly at first, cautiously, as if it weren't sure it wouldn't be caught peeking in. Finally, it rose high enough above the window ledge to reveal a full view of its face. It looked like one of those traditional grays of UFO legend, a large hairless head with tiny features and prominent, almost jet black eyes. They weren't as large as those you see in the movies, nor was the head grotesquely large, but it was a curious sight in any case. What impressed me most was how the creature's eyes appeared to reflect infrared light from the camera. No, Stan, it does not. Even though the mesh of the screen on the window. I don't deny, of course, that a person could create a little puppet and, with a bit of ingenuity, even get it to blink its eyes and scrunch up its face like Boo did. In fact, one can purchase a fairly reasonable facsimile of an alien head off the internet that appears to be capable of performing many of the functions Boo had demonstrated. Clearly, with the level of technology available to us today, it is becoming easier to fake almost anything, making me wonder if it will ever be possible to prove the existence of anything from videotape alone, end quote. So there you go. The man just implicated himself. He is.
We should Bible code messages, right? We should just Dan Brown it up and let it reveal the true tale of this sad man's life. Yes. Because, like, I understand he probably put that in there preemptively, but that's just another self-own. Like, he's literally snitching on himself over and over.
Like, that alien looks like the stock freaking gray, like, puppet that I've seen in, like, on the cover. I know I've seen it on the cover of, it might be an audiobook or something like that, but it's a puppet. Like, there's no doubt that it's a puppet. And what's interesting is, like, Stan has more than one puppet, you know?
Oh, God.
Yeah. So Stan did later claim to, I think he admitted to hoaxing it after.
Yes. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. But the follow-up video is called the Grandpa Gray video. Brian, can you describe this one for us, please?
All right. So for some reason, all of the alien in Stan's life love, like, different kinds of frames, right? So we had the Boo alien pop in diagonally from a window frame. This one's hanging out, like, you know, the back door where you would install, like, a screen door kind of thing, like a patio door kind of. And it kind of just shifts into frame a bit, hangs out a bit, and then shifts back out as if being pulled by someone.
Yeah, it's curious.
And it's kind of the height of, like, a teddy bear, maybe a little bit higher, like, maybe, like, I'd say, like, what, like, three and a half feet, let's say. But really just limited mobility, limited movement. It kind of looks like a Just for Laughs gag.
Yeah. The most telling thing and the most upsetting thing about this particular incident, and it's one that stuck with me, for those that don't know, and Brian knows this, so I'll get a little candid here. I was sexually assaulted in 2004, and the language of my abuser, it was very much familiar in the tone of Stan Romanek. And when he talked about the Grandpa Gray incident, he basically said, I thought it was a kid, one of my kids pranking me, streaking through the house. So I was going to go get a camera and I forget how he worded it, but, like, you know, get them back or something like that. Like, fucking
Rob, once again, like, self tells here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, it's infuriating that he, you know, and, like, we're joking about this, but, like, quite seriously, like, he's a huge gaslighter. He says and does all these things. He is an abuser of different kinds of people, and we'll get into that, because at the end of the day, like, he has kids, he has stepkids. Like, how do they feel about all of this?
Right.
They probably don't feel great. They probably don't feel great both on the ufology side and then also on the prison side of things, right? And it's just, it's very unfortunate that this is where he's landed. And it's just, like, this weird pattern of him realizing something and then saying something weird about it and hoping that no one notices.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched the documentary with someone, and they pointed out that it's almost as if he's trying to admit to it in his own way. Like, the self-harm is him trying to admit it and deal with it. And, like, you can see that in Stan's story all day long. But, like, there are those that enabled him in the UFO community. There are those that enabled him around him. And the incidents after this just get, like, so bizarre. There's an incident involving mystery contractors. On one occasion, Stan captured a video of a light shining down on the side of his house, which is just a fucking flashlight. When you look at it, it's conveniently near a camera, and it literally looks like somebody's on top of the roof shining a flashlight down. Like, it's a flashlight beam. And,
well, also in the documentary, like, there's, like, these quote unquote orbs everywhere, which are just laser pointers. If you watch any video, it literally is a laser pointer. Like, you cannot tell that it exists outside of hitting a surface.
Right.
There is no kind of, like, external cognizance of the fact that, like, it has its own weight, or it is, like, kind of moving through the environment of its own power. It's just a fucking laser pointer.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, they talk about like bubbles coming down, and like, you telling me that somebody couldn't just like blow bubbles on top of that roof? Like,
okay, so I'm gonna lighten the mood a bit, Rob. Okay, so yeah. In one of the videos, Stan shows that he has a huge bruise kind of like on the inside of his arm in the mm-hmm. documentary. So I'm going to hold up a picture for you. So it's kind of hard to see, but this is something that happened to me in the same place, Rob. Do you want to go ahead and ask me what I was doing?
What were you doing, Brian?
I was drunk on Canada Day 6 or 7 years ago, and we had rented an Airbnb in rural Ontario, and they were having like a tiny Canada Day gathering, and there was a hill with a slip and slide, like a man-made slip and slide.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was two tarps that the fire department had put down, so there was a way to get your arm hooked in between.
Oh, God.
The two. So that's how I bruised myself, because I was drunk on Canada Day.
Drunk on Canada Day. That's how Stan Romanek wishes he got these injuries.
That kind of ties into my whole thing of like, he plays the victim card. He's not a fucking victim here at all, ever. No. Like, he mentions all these things, all this harassment, all the phone calls, all of the weird body shit. And he portrays himself as all of these things happening to him all the time.
Right. Right. Like, somehow it's just the victim. And in this case, there were these mystery contractors that showed up to replace the siding on the side of the house where this had happened. And if you ask me, Stan was informed by his landlord that they were going to replace siding. Period. So why not make up a UFO incident to like back it up and say something? Also, of course, they were government contractors and they used the name Bob's Siding. So here's the thing. If you're a contractor, you do more than just fucking siding. You don't like, I have never seen anybody that just like does siding. There may be people out there that just do it professionally. But if you are a contractor, you're doing more than siding. You're not just Bob's Siding. Like,
also, he didn't get a shot out of the van. Like, that's the other part, right? He just, and also, like, these people are just trying to work. They're just trying to do some
shit. They are. They like, really are.
I would imagine that they are curt with him because he's annoying.
Yes, exactly. Very annoying. In one abduction account, he claims he was returned wearing women's clothing. A woman's nightgown.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I mean, listen, if you want to dress in that way, like, no shame. That's, you don't have to coat it in this kind of like wild, extraterrestrial story. Also, something to note that's kind of related is if you go watch the documentary, like his clothing choices are something else. Like, he just he doesn't wear anything that fits him ever.
No, never. Never at any time. His clothing is as bad as JBL's pants on Monday Night Raw these days. By this time, Stan had kind of moved to Nebraska because Lisa's ex-husband had joint custody of the kids. And eventually they did make the move back to Colorado. And that's when Stan ran afoul of people in unmarked black SUVs. I don't understand why moving back to Boulder, Colorado would cause this. Like, there's no fucking sense in why he wouldn't be attacked like at any other fucking point in time. He was allegedly riding his bike when he was accosted by three individuals who jumped out of an SUV, and according to Stan, he fought them off but suffered a broken nose and other injuries.
So he's a karate master. So a 3-on-1 assault, and he's the karate master.
Yes. Yeah.
So Rob, we mentioned this at the top. We were talking about the bike incident. Let's talk about it again. Injuries consistent with falling off a bike.
Yeah, absolutely. Injuries consistent with a guy falling head first over his fucking bike. Quite literally.
Yes. And I'm kind of curious, though, whether a lot of these incidents have happened to him or he made them happen. Right.
Right.
Because it seems like he'd do almost anything to continue this narrative. So injuring yourself on the bike, not out of the realm of possibility. Once again, allegedly.
Allegedly. A lot of allegedly there. Shortly after moving back, they started to receive odd messages on their answering machine warning them that they shouldn't have come to Colorado Springs. These messages would be left in it by a robotic voice with a British accent. And this voice would have a name for him. Starseed. And this woman identified herself as Audrey. you know, I am not against people like that believe they are starseeds, you know, to each their own. But Stan Romanek takes it to a whole different creepy fucking level that fuck you, Stan Romanek, quite frankly.
Okay, so the voice, Audrey. So during that time, you could purchase software. It was very primitive, but you could purchase software that was basically like speech, like text-to-speech software with like different intonations. So for a while, like AT&T offered like a free one on their website with different dialects and accents and stuff that I used to abuse for a college radio show. And I used to pretend to have people call in.
Yeah.
And so like I know, that, like, and I did some research. I hit up archive.org and like there was software that he could use. And once again, he's a computer man.
Yeah. Knows computers pretty well. Really well, in fact.
Yeah. Also, I'd be remiss not to mention, as a Canadian, Starseed is a great Arlie EP song.
It is. Absolutely. Throw those lighters up. It is a fantastic song. So there were messages left on the machines of friends. This is all really so fucking dumb. So dumb. These messages mark like the most extreme shit, such as like, you know, film images that have aliens in the background.
There's a couple, if you watch the documentary, like it is clear it is like a like soap sculpture almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
In one of them. And then in another one, it's a standee that he got made.
Yes.
Like it clearly looks like a piece of paper.
The person looks two dimensional. This girl with the big eyes, she looks two dimensional. There's no other way around it.
Also, they had like a weird cardboard cutout of a girl, too, at one point off in the distance after it's revealed that he has all of these fucking space children.
Yes. Some of these photos are like they have like grays in the background, but some of them have children. And one of them purports to be a hybrid daughter of his. He claims to have 9 hybrid children.
So her name is. Her name is Kioma.
Yep.
And she calls him.
Yes, on the phone.
On a regular basis. Couldn't you star 67 or star 68 it?
Yeah, really. Star 69? Nice.
But really, couldn't you do like the barest minimum of contacting the phone company to find out where these calls, like these, you know, other dimensional extraterrestrial phone calls are coming from?
Yeah. It's a simple fucking exercise. Like, there really is... There's no, like, damn you, Stan Romanek. I fucking hate you and everything that you have done to me in this fucking podcast. There's an incident in which an alien took a selfie with one of his cameras.
like, once again, like, you watch the Boo video. You hear shit like this and you're like, yes, I'm investing wholly in this story. Of course, this is correct and true. And I believe in everything, including the laser pointers.
Yep. He allegedly had an implant removed from his right hip. In a 2004 regression, he started to realize that he had hybrid children. And the aliens told him that change for the Earth was coming. And what year was it coming, Brian?
2012.
Yeah, there it is.
But the change for the Earth for Stan Romanek only happened 2 years after that. But we'll discuss that after.
Yes. In July of 2004, he received harassment on his computer when his computer username was changed to "You Can't Hide" in all caps. And allegedly his car was tampered with on another occasion.
So once again, computer man doing computer things. Also, like a child. This sounds like a child's prank.
Yes.
The computer thing. Like, one of your kids got onto your, you know, Windows XP machine and just was having fun with dad.
Yeah. The Grandpa Gray incident occurred in March of 2005. And after that, you know, Gray's just showing up in photos left and right. Like, you know. And then there's the UFO miracle that occurred in May of 2006. Long story short, Stan was on a ladder painting when he fell and tore his ACL. He went to a doctor. Surgery was scheduled, but miraculously, his injury was cured by the aliens during an abduction. He woke up with a bunch of scoop marks on his legs, and the doctors declared it a miracle. Only we don't have video of them talking to the doctor. We just have some audio of them talking to some random dude. And, correct. You know.
legitimately could have been the like the Bob sighting people.
Yeah.
Anyone, really anyone.
Yeah. So he started to receive phone calls from one of the cyber children after that. And like, that's when things just get out of hand. So 2014, Extraordinary, the Stan Romanek story, a documentary by Jack Roth and John Sumple is released.
Let's talk about those two.
Yeah.
I did some digging.
Yeah.
So John Sumple went to a weekend event where Stephen Greer was speaking. And this is how he got, quote unquote, turned on to Stan Romanek. So just, you know, the through line there is just stupid to start with.
And if you think and we won't be covering covering Stephen Greer on this segment in the future, you are dead wrong.
Another person who loves laser pointers of a different kind.
Yes, he does.
And so Sumple also claims in an interview that he's, quote unquote, not a UFO buff, but he's gone to all these ufology events. Like, I don't know, like, I'd call myself as a person into ufology.
Yeah. Yeah. And he cries about disclosure, you know? Cries about disclosure.
Yeah. And also, we haven't talked yet about Stan's ability to cheat in his marriage and make it completely sane, right? So there's a woman named Victoria Albright who... So have you ever taken any improv classes, Rob?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so there's an exercise called Yes And. So basically, you give something out, and the other person Yes And adds to it. This is essentially Yes And in real life.
Yeah.
So everything that Stan says, she backs up. So he starts a relationship with her, and his wife feels uncomfortable, but she's okay with it because it's predetermined by the aliens and the stars. Now, Rob, I'm going to drop this in the show notes. This is a surprise I wanted to send to you. But here you go, my friend. The most cursed image of all time. I just dropped that in the Zoom chat. Go ahead and open that up.
Okay. They're laughing. They're
Victoria, Lisa, and Stan, 2010, together. Just a weird shot of them laughing, and Stan's in the corner, just kind of grinning, and his bow tie's all fucked up.
Yep.
So that's just, it's super weird to me to be like, oh, hey, by the way, I have started an extramarital affair, and it's because the aliens told me to.
Yep. Simple as that.
And also, like, you just, yeah, there's, I mean, we're about to talk about who's in the actual documentary.
Yeah. Yeah. So they, in this documentary, they kind of shove every kind of experience broken down into categories into, like, the first 30 minutes of this thing. And then, like, the last hour of it is basically, like, a commentary on these experiences. It is so weird in the way that this documentary is shaped, and the fact that they made two more after it of, you know, covering different kind of but related topics is astounding to me. But there are people, experts featured on this thing, including Dr. Leo Sprinkle, Paola Harris, Alejandro Rojas, Chuck Sikowski, and like, I really don't understand what they saw in this man other than the fact that every single one of them said that he was nice.
So Paola Harris also appeared around the same time in Stephen Greer's Serious documentary. So that's all you kind of need to know about her, allegedly.
Yeah. Leo Sprinkle had been like the foremost kind of researcher in abductions using hypnosis going back to the early 60s after, you know, he saw what Benjamin Simon did. He took an interest in it, and he worked with, you know, a lot of experiencers over the years, including the famed regression done to Myrna Hansen and Paul Benowitz's car because he believed that it was the only place safe enough to do it. The car was like wrapped in tinfoil the entire time. And Alejandro Rojas of Open Minds, although I don't know that he's doing as much with Open Minds these days. He's got I think a lot of it is related to his job. Chuck Sikowski, who is, you know, the 37th parallel guy. He seemed to be the one that didn't want to be there.
Yeah. Like, I felt like he was asked and he was around. So he's like, yes, but he's the most guarded in terms of like how he talks about things. So
yeah,
I don't feel as bad for him in terms of, like, I believe that he was put into a situation where he's like, you know what, I'll go ahead and do this. He could have always said no, right? And that's kind of, like, an issue I have with all these people. They could all just said no. Like, really, like, so the boot camp kind of went wide in 2008. So Stan was on Coast to Coast AM three times, in 2002, 2003, 2008. So the boot camp comes out. And so Stan shows up on Coast to Coast AM on September 19th, 2008. And so what they had done is that they had found someone local to administer a lie detector test, which doesn't go Stan's way at all. So these are the two questions and the two answers. Do you know if the boot tape has been edited, changed, or manipulated in any matter? Inconclusive. Is the boot tape a hoax? Answer indicates deception. So his defenders will tell you that is because he was very anxious and nervous, that he was not of his right mind. He was having so much going on in his life that he just cannot do this and sit straight and give honest answers because his body was just too anxious.
Right.
Right. That is, Occam's razor suggests that he's lying. He's just, he's lying straight up. And so he started this whole war against George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM and gotten mad about them. So it's really interesting. If you look in the first part of the book, he talks about being on radio shows from Coast to Coast, but he doesn't say Coast to Coast AM.
Right.
Which I found really like a very interesting kind of bit. But yeah, he doesn't come off as a great person in this segment.
No.
And kind of gets huffy and like leaves, essentially, which to me is like the essence of like who he is. Like when confronted with facts, he gets huffy and doubles down on something else. Like he pivots a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. In 2014, there's another infamous appearance. What show was that, Brian?
He was on the Peter Maxwell Slattery show.
Yes. And Stan tries to pass off as if the aliens.
He flicks a pen cap.
Yeah, the aliens are trying to fuck with him, but you can literally see him on camera throw a pen back behind him. Like, you could literally see his hand. And he keeps, like, there's a great video that we're going to include in the show notes that kind of, like, breaks down him throwing all these things to make it seem like the aliens are fucking with him during this entire interview. And it's so fucking stupid. And the fact that he's... the host is going along with it. I'm like, there are so many people that feed into his delusions, and it is so fucking troubling to me, especially when you consider the fact that a lot of them are respected researchers in the field. What is it about Stan Romanek that makes people want to fucking lie for him? I don't fucking know.
I got two words for you. Human clickbait.
Ah, human clickbait.
Because honestly, if you view it through the lens of promotion and publicity, it all makes sense, right? You know, but the shitty thing is, as you said, like, it denigrates real experiencers. It denigrates stories that have real unknown elements to them. You know, people who have been abducted, and there's no earthly explanation for some of the things they've seen or had happened to them, or that they're able to communicate to other people. And then you have this piece of shit wandering around playing with puppets, claiming that all the different burns he's had have been like aliens, and falls off his bike and blames the men in black in a large SUV that he was able to fight off. Like, it's so frustrating to me to like want to believe in these things. And to the layperson, this is what ufology is. It's just stupidity incarnate. It's just almost 200 incidents of stupidity just existing over and over. Like, one look at the boot tape and you know that the jig is up, but yet he continued to show up to conventions, to the UFO Congress. Like, there's all this shit that, like, you know, and the only reason I think is because his story is so outlandish and stupid that it's human clickbait.
Right. So, same year that the documentary is released, Stan is arrested for possession of childhood sexual assault material on his computer. And for a guy that knows computers so well, what's the angle that gets played up? Well, of course, somebody planted it there. Somebody put it there.
The government.
Yes, the government put it there. And in the documentary, they try to defend him with these stupid fucking bullshit headlines about, you know, shit being implanted on people's computers. I'm not saying that that hasn't happened, because it has. But in this case, nobody gives a shit enough about Stan Romanek to plant that kind of shit on his computer ever. Not to mention the fact that the dude's incriminated himself, like, quite literally at every fucking step of the way, and including in that documentary. And the fact that they, like, you know, try to, you know, play innocent at the end totally fucking pisses me off.
Yeah, like, the movie's epilogue is a written epilogue that shows up on the screen. So they state that he's been busted for child porn. And then, like you're saying, they literally say before you judge, and they show a bunch of website headlines all about how things have been implanted. So Time Magazine, okay. But then you pivot to InfoWars.
Yes, InfoWars, of course.
And like websites of that ilk, right? So I did research on a bunch of them, and, like, they've all taken these stories down. I went through archive.org, and I was able to go to different spaces in 2014 where the website was archived, and there's, like, no mention. Like, it was pretty much, like, very quickly, like, disappeared.
Yeah. A lot of those stories, bullshit. Just, like, absolute bullshit. Just people trying to find ways to defend themselves and you know, denying it completely. But, like, not only was it InfoWars, but it was InfoWars as pulled from an article on Scribe.com.
Correct. Correct. So just, you know, a gateway by which to view InfoWars. And the fact that they defend him, and the fact that they say before you judge, and the fact that they've seen all the footage, right? Because we've only seen an edited version of the documentary. The fact is they spent all this time with him. They have all these alleged incidents. Because also, like, something we failed to mention is that Stan writes down all of his incidents.
All of them. Every single one of them.
He has a fucking list of them.
Like, he literally has an image that he took outside of a window right next to his desk that literally looks like he put a piece of, like, tape on a window and tried to pass it off as a triangular UFO. Like, what the fuck?
At one point, the documentary shows, like, a weird shot of the bathroom ceiling. That looks like condensation problems. Like, I live in an apartment where there are condensation problems because the toilet above the apartment of ours was leaking and creating weird bubbles, just like in the video.
Yeah.
Sir, check your house.
Yeah, just get it checked the fuck out. There was also, I remember, a controversy a couple years ago because Stan was sentenced to 2 years at a halfway house, 10 years probation. There was this controversy I remember a couple of years ago on Reddit, in which someone who was believed to be Stan Romanek, and, you know, according to his probation, he's not allowed on the internet, allegedly got on Reddit and was commenting on photos of children. I don't know if that was true or not. I remember seeing it briefly, but I couldn't find it again. But that allegedly happened.
So I was snooping through Lisa Romanek's Twitter feed. So the last time she tweeted is in March 2020. And apparently Stan was hospitalized 8 times while in the halfway house. So he actually keeps getting returned back to serve more time, because every time he's out of the hospital, he has to come back and, like, finish his time. And also, she also states that he was poisoned in 2008 with cadmium. And so he had like an instance of, like, C. difficile and, like, all of these problems. And they're all killing him. And apparently his body is giving out slowly. So she's asking for money.
Yeah. Yeah. The grift continues. The grift continues. Yeah. That's this fucking story. Brian, do you have anything else to say about this giant piece of shit?
I mean, he was a piece of shit 20 years ago. He was a piece of shit 10 years ago. His enablers were a piece of shit even 5 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Coming out and defending someone on child porn charges is pretty fucked up. Like, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of things that I will defend in life, but I will never, ever defend any sort of heinous, shitty crime like that.
No.
Where, you know, kids were involved in any capacity. Like, it's fucking angering to me that even now, people still cling to him, still cling to this hope that it's all just a government plot against him, right? And I've thought about this logically a lot. Like, what is the government's end game with messing with him so much, right? Like, if you were to lay down all the facts and all these incidents, you know, from the black SUV to the phone calls to, oh, someone entrapped me. I'm a computer man who doesn't know how to use the fucking computer. You have to wonder, like, what are they getting to? They want to discredit him? Once again, he has self-owned himself over and over and over again.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And here's my thing here. If you view alien contact with anybody as picking out the best of the best to make contact with, or picking out the person that you think is the best to pass your message along to humanity, Stan Romanek is literally the worst. Why would aliens, and aliens always seem to have this kind of insight into the people that they pick and make it seem like they are the ideal candidate for this shit. Why would Stan Romanek, of all people, be the ideal candidate for that? There is no fucking way that if it fucking peace-loving aliens coming to this fucking planet would pick a piece of shit like that. And that, and the fact that people still just defend him is...
That's the thing. If you hit up places like Reddit, yeah, and even Above Top Secret, the forums there, which are just infamous, you know, there are still defenders. And I don't understand why people staunchly want to believe that the government has it out for this guy.
Right.
Because, like, once again, like, why him? Why right. him? Right. And Occam's Razor, once again, suggests he's doing it to himself.
Right. One of the most thoroughly documented series of events, and they couldn't put a stop to him sooner.
That's super fucked up, though, when you think right. about the name of the book, right? Because his message is the world's most documented extraterrestrial contact story. Most self-documented.
Right. Right.
There's an asterisk that needs to be in there. All this documentation comes from one person. No independent verification. Like, once again, like we talked about the story of the people in the store telling him, hey, Stan, come outside. There's a UFO. And where are these people? We're like, right. apart from like his inner circle, apart from people like his wife right. and, you know, his star wife, Victoria, who just seems to want to believe in whatever he's saying, you yes. know, and it's sad because, like, allegedly, or, you know, I'm presupposing that perhaps she has a type of, like, loneliness in her life, or a type of mental illness that has compelled her to join into this and want mm-hmm. to believe, right? Because
yeah.
it's very hard to want to believe that people like this are on a mission of any sort. Like, what is Stan's mission, right? Like, what is his mission as it relates to UFOs? Like, what is he supposed to evangelize about?
Yeah. I, like... Nothing. There's nothing. All it is a grift. And Stan Romanek is the worst grifter of grifters. And that's a solid first volume of UFO grifters on this podcast. Clearly, we picked the worst to really start with. But like after that, you can only go downhill so far. Actually, you could probably go a little up. Brian, thank you for coming on this podcast. And we constantly put ourselves through like the fucking... We put ourselves through the shit, Brian, every time. Every time.
It's brutal.
It is brutal.
So, Rob, I'm sad that you didn't name this Yo, Fuck That Guy, the Yo, Fuck That Guy series.
There's always a chance that we can change it, but seriously, fuck that guy. Brian, you have a podcast. Where could people find
it? We don't have to talk about that right now. Whatever, who gives a shit? That's Yo, fuck fair. That guy. No, okay, so I co-host a podcast named Double Density, so we emerge the world of tech and the world of paranormal together, and I do that with my co-host Angelo. Right now we're on a weekly schedule, so this is like November 2022. We're doing weekly for the next little while, and so, you know, we drop episodes every Wednesday. I get frustrated by his old man ways, and he mm-hmm. gets frustrated by my... lack of trying to get him to do anything, literally. So Rob recently was on an episode of Double Density to talk about a book, and it was actually kind of miraculous that he actually read the book.
Yeah, even more miraculous that he was okay with it.
Which also was, like, once again, like a book where there's like demonic rape, essentially.
Yes. Exactly.
Sexualized demonic rape.
Yeah, very, very. But it was okay in Angelo's eyes.
Yo, fuck that guy too, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
seriously.
I'm kidding. I would love if he listened to this episode all the way to the end.
And oh, then there's seriously. Like
a little, there's yeah. a little, you know, tidbit at the end. But it is very frustrating to come on and talk about something so frustrating. So thank Rob, like, I super appreciate you having me on. I know this was a bit of a weird one for you, given the fucking gaslighting that he's been doing and the denigrating of anyone with a legitimate, you know, prior situation or incident, in life, be it ufology or not. And it's just, it's unbelievable. Like, I really truly question humanity sometimes when they try to back people like this.
Yeah, totally. Just think of the victims in this case. Don't think of fucking Romanek.
So I think, like, so just one last bit. I think child pornography charges, really the victim at the end of the day is all of us.
Yeah.
Like, we were subjected to stupidity. And then as soon as he dropped the Boo video on YouTube in 2008, everyone should have just walked away.
Yep. Should have just wiped their hands clean of it.
But was humanity a mistake, Rob?
Stan, the story of Stan Romanek will have you believe it is. Yeah, that's the easiest way to sum it up in this case. I'm going to keep it short because this episode was soul crushing. But special thanks to Floats for the use of our theme song. It's called UFO. It's a pretty good song. Go check it out. Special thanks to Megan Lagerberg for our logo, Spencer Worth Davis for editing this podcast, which I feel bad that he's going to have to do that now. And to the great Desdemona for all the t-shirts designs over the years. And finally, don't forget to look up, because you never know what you'll find in our strange skies. Just don't look anywhere for Stan Romanek. In gray, we trust.
Media.